Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 887, Interview with Cardinal Redbird, recorded on September 13th, 2024. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm, for this episode, and I have the great pleasure of having a fellow Forerunner on this podcast to do a little bit of an interview. Welcome, Rachel, a.k.a. Cardinal Redbird, to the podcast.
Hello. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Unfortunately, or fortunately, you're the first guest that we've had for this whole year, because I have a little one and scheduling is not always the easiest with a now one-year-old.
Yeah, makes sense.
It does, yeah. But yeah, was kind of interested to talk a little bit about your Halo streaming. You're kind of one of the more notable Halo streamers, I think. You're kind of
I appreciate that. Wow. I don't say I don't know if I consider myself there, but I appreciate that. Yeah,
you're definitely in the top 100. You're in the top 10 of my Twitch, at least.
Top 100. All right. Well, never mind.
I mean, thankfully, with a lot of the stuff that has been happening lately with HGS Grassroots and all the tournaments, it's been really cool. And one of the things that you get to do along with your streaming is a little event that you've put together. I think we've had four or five events now, the Boomer versus Zoomer tournaments, has also been a Grassroots partner event. So
yeah, so a lot of them are just Boomer only events, and then we've had three that are just that are Boomer Zoomers. So they kind of fluctuate depending on you know, what turn it is for which event. So yeah,
right. So what we like to do with all of our guests who come on the show is we have two main questions and we kind of dive into the rest of everything. Second one, we'll be talking about a little bit more detail, which is kind of what you do in the Halo community, which primarily is what we're having you on for to discuss.
Yeah.
But first question that we normally ask folks is, how did you get started into Halo? What was that thing that really sparked your interest and has kept you invested in the franchise all these years?
Yeah, that's a kind of a long-winded
question. A little bit of a loaded question.
Yeah. Well, so it's actually ironic that we're recording this today, because today's the 14th anniversary of Halo Reach coming out. And Halo Reach is where I started. That was my first Halo game. So it sounds kind of cliche, but I grew up playing video games, but I was always like Nintendo, PlayStation, etc. So I never really knew about Halo. And then when I was in college, I actually dated somebody that was super into Halo. He got me into it, so I wanted to play with him. And then I always joke because I say I wanted him to watch baseball with me. He wanted me to play Halo with him. He never ended up liking baseball, but I ended up falling in love with Halo. And then even though that relationship didn't pan out, I'm so thankful for that, because without it, I would have never gotten into something that's been such a big part of my life. And I even just on my own back then, I was playing every day trying to get better and better. And I fell in love with the game and the community aspects of it. And Reach is really just where it all began. I loved the competitive side. I loved all the fun custom games. I mean, it was just my favorite thing. And from there, my involvement just kind of started growing. You know, I started streaming and just things kind of grew from there. So, yeah.
Very nice. Reach is definitely one that we get fairly frequently. I think between Reach 3 and 2, those seem to be kind of the three main entry games for people getting into the Halo franchise. So Customs and Reach was definitely
a major
attraction point.
Yeah, I have so many memories of just staying up late and playing all those goofy modes, and it was a blast.
Yeah, Halo 3 kind of got its start, but Halo Reach really took it over the edge with custom games. Mm-hmm. So that's not surprising at all.
Yeah.
So you mostly multiplayer? Do you like any of the lore stuff?
So I mean, I've played through all the campaigns. I do like the Reach campaign the most for whatever reason. I just love how morbid it is. I don't know. So I kind of do like to replay that one. But no, I'm mainly multiplayer. I don't do too much with campaign or Forge, anything like that. Multiplayer is where I spend most of my time.
Very good. And I'm guessing you've gone back and played the original games. Has it been interesting to see how the game mechanics have changed from all the way back in Halo CE up through Halo Infinite now? And how do you feel that progression of the game changing the mechanics, the mm-hmm. sandbox? How does that kind of influence your thought or feelings of what the Halo franchise is? From the game.
Yeah, I mean, I always like how every Halo game feels unique and it's different. And, you know, not to really jump into COD, but I feel like Call of Duty just kind of repeats itself a lot. And with Halo, it's every game just feels very distinct. Like Halo 2 is Halo 2, Halo 3 is Halo 3. And, you know, there might be map remakes and things like that, which will tie the games together, or weapons that will repeat in multiple games. But I like that every game feels very fresh and very unique.
Very nice. Yeah, I think everything has been really interesting to see. I've got my start personally kind of in the Halo 2, Halo 3 era. So mm-hmm. definitely interesting to see just with how the game industry has changed with first person shooter genre, what Halo's done to adapt and really bring it into the new age has been really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You stream a lot of Halo Infinite on your Twitch channel, which you stream fairly regularly. Mm-hmm. Now it's a little bit different with you being a teacher.
Yep.
And the school year starting back into things.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you feel about Halo Infinite? How do you like the direction that it's taken as far as multiplayer?
So the game right now, I think a lot of people don't realize if they're not following Halo Infinite as closely as maybe you and I are, but there's so much content in the game now, and it's, you can really jump on and play whatever you want. And I really wish that this had been how it released. I think we all, you know, maybe feel that way. I wish we had more content from the beginning, but now, I mean, I love that I can jump in, and I do play a lot of BTB right now, but if I want to go in and play Husky Raid, or if I want to go on and do, maybe I want to do a bunch of free for all game modes or goofy random stuff, There's plenty of options with the match composer. And also with the custom game browser, there's just so many things that you can do, which make planning, you know, the boomer events. And whenever you do customs, it makes it really fun to showcase a lot of that stuff. So yeah, it's, I feel like you kind of have to find your spot, you know, and maybe you've been playing ranked for a long time and you're burnt out on ranked. That's kind of where I was. And so I think there's definitely playlists and game modes for whatever it is that you want to do. And I think a lot of people just haven't, you know, given it a chance recently. So
going through the waves of up and down has definitely been interesting to watch.
Yes. And there's been a lot of issues, you know, with the servers and the EAC and, you know, some of that, which makes it frustrating for sure. But when the game works, you know, I have a good time. When it
works, it's fun to play.
Yeah. When I can play with my friends and party up. Yeah, it's great. So,
that EAC bug really did a number on us when we did our last tournament.
Oh my gosh, I felt so bad. I was like, I'm sorry, the game is broken. Thanks for playing.
It was still a lot of fun, though.
I know.
So how long have you been streaming on Twitch? And has it always been Halo?
Ooh, okay. So I started back in June of 2014. I had just graduated from college and I was in that kind of limbo phase. I had just gotten hired for my first teaching job, but you know, it was summer, so I hadn't started yet. I'd always wanted to stream, and I finally had bought an Xbox One, which back then you could stream through the Twitch app. So I didn't need a computer. I could just click go live on my Xbox, and then I used my Kinect webcam. And, you know, I mean, I wish I had pictures or videos. I don't have anything from those first few months, and I wish I had, you know, had something saved. But back then, there wasn't any way to stream anything that wasn't Xbox One, since I was streaming from there. So I started streaming with Titanfall, and I played that for the first 2 months,
Absolutely loved
Titanfall. It was really fun. And I mean, I didn't play it really after MCC came out, but yeah, that's what I started with. And then I moved and started teaching, and Destiny came out. So I streamed Destiny and then MCC. So when MCC came out, we kind of remember it didn't always work properly. So I would stream MCC, right. But I also streamed a lot of Destiny. So my first year of streaming was kind of a mixture of those. And it's been mainly Halo since then. But during the Halo 5 era, I wasn't a big fan of Halo 5 after the first couple years. So I pivoted, and I did a lot of Dead by Daylight, PUBG, Fortnite, Apex, Fall Guys. You know, I kind of went all over the place, which, looking back,
kinda did a little sampling of games.
Yeah. And looking back, you know, I think I was very focused on just playing what I wanted to play. And I never really saw streaming as something that would take off. And so I didn't think too much about it, you know. Now looking back, I'm like, well, maybe I should have focused more on Halo and tried to grow my stream. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You can't always think of things like that. But yeah, right. I definitely bounced around a lot. And then once Infinite came out, I did mostly stick to Infinite. I've pretty much have mainly streamed that now for the past 3 years.
Nice. You have any side games that you typically dip into, or has Halo Infinite kind of been the main game for the last three
years? I was off and on with Destiny still. I've always played it throughout the years. I'll play it for a while, and then I stop, and then it's overwhelming to get back into it. So I put it off, and then I like playing it again. So Destiny has been there. Assassin's Creed has always been a big one for me. So
that's a good one.
Yeah. So I just played through the new game. Was it Mirage? I think I forget now.
I'm so behind on Assassin's Creed. I need to catch up.
It was about a year ago, I think, and I played that one. So, and then I played some like cozy games. Disney Dreamlight Valley is a fun one. Or there's like some other things on Game Pass that are kind of fun to play. So the problem is with teaching, I just don't have a ton of extra time. So I do most of my side games over my break. So around Christmas or summer, you know, things like that. But during the school year, it's mostly just Halo. That's all I have time for.
Yeah. So that kind of leads into what my next question was going to be, was kind of how you got into teaching and how teaching kind of plays into your streaming and that kind of stuff. Cause I know we've had discussions, and you've talked about on your streams how you kind of get to have a little bit special relationship, cause you used to teach fourth grade, and obviously fourth graders are going to be playing video games like crazy. So you actually get to kind of share in that with them. So how has that been with teaching and also playing video games and kind of being able to relate to, I mean, they're probably all playing Fortnite or Roblox
at this point. Yes. Yeah. So I got into teaching mainly because of two things. I've always loved working with kids. And then I wanted a job where I can make a difference and feel impactful. And so teaching was just something I felt naturally good at and I enjoyed. And I do try to keep a lot of video game and teaching stuff separate. So obviously, I'm not telling my students I stream. I don't even get into Halo too much with them, just because I don't want to take that chance, you know. So if they bring up Halo, that's one thing. It does not happen too often. But yeah, I do try to keep a lot of separation there just for my own privacy. But yeah, it's fun, because when they first find out I play video games, I get the same look. It doesn't matter how old the kids are. They look at me like totally shocked, like, my teacher plays video games. Right. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure a lot of your parents play video games too. Like, this isn't that weird, you know, but it's cool because it's a way to relate with them. And I can tie in learning, make math problems around video games, you know, just build relationships that way. So it is fun. With second grade, yeah, a lot of them, like I would say Fortnite, Minecraft, Roblox are kind of the main ones I've been hearing. So
that sounds about right. Have you ever had a situation, or not necessarily a situation, a time where either a parent or a child found your stream and were like, nope. Hey, it's cool that you stream. No, not yet. Okay.
I know. I'm waiting for it. I think with Halo, I just don't think a lot of them are going into that section. My first classes of fourth graders are in college now. I've taught for 11 years. So
wow.
I'm at a point where I'm like, it's likely that they, you know, they could be on Twitch and find me. But as far as I know, nobody has seen it. And I'm hoping it stays that way. I really would not want that to happen because I just don't want to cross those two things together. So
yeah. Hopefully it doesn't get awkward.
Yeah.
But it's like if it happens and it's all kind of like, yeah. Oh, that's cool. Then,
yeah. And then. I guess, you know, if you're older, like if former students found me and they're, you know, college age, I don't think that's too big of a deal. Right. Well, and if they're adults, like whatever. But I would rather not have my, you know, elementary school students finding me. That just wouldn't really be good. So.
Not as filtered during the streams.
I know. And like, not that I'm like, wow, I'm such a, you know, crazy streamer, but you know, I'm not exactly PG with my language all the time. So I'd rather not have to worry about that.
Right. And then I think your other passion, which you kind of touched on a little bit earlier too, is baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm a big
had any influence in your Halo or teaching at all.
Well, it is why my name's Cardinal Redbird, so I guess that's a big one. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think with streaming, it's nice because I have a lot of people that will come in and they want to talk sports. So either baseball, or I'm also a big college football fan. I live in Nebraska, so you know, we got the Huskers, go Big Red. But with the sports aspect, it's been a way to kind of build community. People like to come in, and I have a command for just about every baseball team in my chat. So if you type exclamation point Cubs, you'll find something. A lot of them are, you know, just funny, goofy stuff. So it's fun. Yeah.
I'll have to do my hometown team next time I'm in your stream and see what it says.
Oh, yeah. Wait, remind me of what it is again.
Astros. Houston.
Astros. Okay. Yeah, you won't like what it is. I can already tell you.
Oh god.
Okay. we'll see
what happens next time.
It's not one of the nicer ones, yeah.
All right. Well, so let's talk about the boomer versus zoomer stuff, because I feel like there's definitely lots of different organizations out there that do tournaments. There's LVT, there's Wind of Halo. There's obviously the actual official Halo Championship series, but I feel like the Boomer versus Zoomer has been kind of a unique series of events and tournaments. And you mentioned that there's Boomer events and then there's Boomer versus Zoomers, but the Boomer versus Zoomers has been really interesting as far as the,
it gets a lot of people involved. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we had 8 teams of 8 this last time. So I think 64 players, right?
We actually had, let me look, I have it pulled up. We had 12 teams of 8. So 96 players.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good for kind of an offshoot type of tournament. That's not like a more traditional 2v2 or SWAT or just straight up competitive. So
yeah, definitely.
How was the idea formed, or what gave you the idea of doing this kind of tournament series?
Yeah, well, I guess I kind of have to start with just the boomer side, because that's what started first, was just kind of boomer playdates. So I don't remember exactly how the idea came up. I just remember being in a kind of a state where I was in almost a rut with Halo and streaming. I was missing the sense of community, and, you know, kind of tying back to Reach, where we'd get on and we'd play all these fun custom games, or we'd always have a lobby, people having some drinks, laughing, having fun. And the older you get, the more responsibilities you have. You know, you understand that all too well. And even I don't have kids, but even just, you know, when you're an adult, you're working, you're doing more things that are giving you less time for gaming. And I just remember feeling like I just missed having lobbies to play with. And I was solo queuing on my stream a lot. That was back when I was playing ranked. And I was like, I just miss playing Halo with friends and just having fun. And I just kind of came up with this randomly. And I think the reason I made the first official event is because at our age, like, we almost need to plan things out in advance. Like, okay, this night we're all going to get on and we're going to play. And the more mm-hmm. official and scheduled it is, the more likely it is that it's going to happen. Because when we were younger, we would just hop on and everybody would be on. But now it's not that way. So anyway, yeah. I remember I first made a tweet and I was like, I have no idea what's going to happen, but I made a tweet and was like, how many Halo players over 30 would be down for an event? And it instantly took off. Like, I instantly had LVT members replying to it. I had so many people that were like, yes, that sounds awesome. And I was like, okay, I guess there's interest here. Like, all right, let's do it, you know?
Yep.
So
I remember when you first announced that, I'm like, oh, this sounds like a fun idea.
Yeah. And so I planned out the first one. It went super well. Met a lot of really cool people that I didn't know prior. And I wanted to make it clear, it's not just for streamers or content creators. It's for anybody that wants to play. So I think I also felt like there was kind of a space missing for that, because like you said, we have HGS, we have Grassroots, we have all these smaller groups of things, but mm-hmm. the larger Halo community is just the normal, regular, you know, dad that goes home yeah. and plays Halo. Like, we need to get more of those people involved, because that's the backbone of the game. It's always just been the casual players. You don't have to be a streamer or a pro player, right?
Yeah.
So,
and it's really fun.
And yeah, and I also want it to be not anything super competitive. So like the very first one, we just had lobbies. We went on and played BTB, and we had just challenges to complete. And it was whichever team got the most challenges correct in those 3 hours. I think I gave everybody like $10 of Halo Infinite credits or something, you know. So I don't always do prizes, but I did for that first one. But yeah, just something fun.
And can you go in a little bit of detail what those challenges were? Because I think that was one of the coolest aspects of the tournament. It's like, okay, you're not playing this for just wins and losses. You actually have objectives in order to actually like be the winning squad of the night.
So I made just kind of a mixture. Like, there were some like get a ninja or get an overkill, or I don't know. There were
so many stickies.
Yeah, a lot of Halo Infinite medals are what I use for inspiration. So just finding unique medals was kind of an easy way to get some things. And then some goofy stuff, like three people stand on a wasp for 20 seconds, you know, just like little fun things to get people talking and laughing, that sort of thing.
Yeah. It was one of the best events I think I've ever played in. It's kept me coming back to the events, because it's just like, it's so much fun. And I get to see some of the same people.
Yeah.
Over and over again playing in these events. So
yeah,
you definitely found a niche.
I know. And again, I had no idea what would happen when I first had the idea, and the fact that so many people were on board and have enjoyed them, that's what makes me want to keep planning them. So, but then kind of going into the boomer zoomer side, you know, at the after we had done a couple of them, I think we had done three by that point, then I started to have people that are like, well, I'm not 30, but I want to play. Like, that's not fair. And I'm like, well, this is for us old people. Like, you know, we have to try extra hard to get on and play. But
we're not as quick as you youngins. We don't have as much skill as you do.
You guys are better and you have more free time. Like, this is our Discord. This is our time. But I did think the idea of playing against younger players was kind of cool. So I had it in the forefront of my mind and I was like, okay, this would be kind of fun. And then when I had a break from school, so like around, you know, Christmas time is when I was like, okay, let's plan out. We'll call it Boomer versus Zoomer and we'll get everybody on board. And that was the first one. So it was about, January of this year, I think was the first one of those. And same thing where, you know, there were a lot of people that wanted to play. It was harder, I think, to find younger players, I think, because the Boomer Discord was already very like
filled.
Yeah. Like there were a lot of people in there. And since I'm a little bit older, most of my friends are around my age. So it took me a bit to find a lot of younger people to play. But, you know, now we have kind of a good group of people that have played. So, yeah.
Yeah, we do. Accelerate's always a difficult team to go up against.
I'm going to beat him one of these days. I don't know when, right? But he'll never hear the end of it.
We're going to pull ahead and be like, we got one finally in the bag.
I know. I think he's beaten me like 10 different times at events. And I'm like, your ego's already large enough. I can't handle this.
Right. He's got all his PC settings tuned. So he's got the best PC rig probably of anyone.
Mouse and keyboard. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So what are some of the other ideas that you've kind of explored, or you still kind of just in the mindset of, okay, this is kind of working and looking to see what to kind of take this forward or just kind of keep doing the same events?
So actually, Omniscient Wolf,
a little bit of MCC maybe?
Yeah. Well, okay. So we have done a couple MCC events. I think we've done two. Those ones are never quite as popular. People will still want to do it, but they're not. I can't usually get as many people to do it. So,
yeah.
I'll throw them in. I think I've done, two over the past year and a half. Omniscient Wolf actually had a good idea for another event. It would be more of a, like teams of four instead of doing BTB or squad battle. But basically, the idea was to have a team of four and then give everybody game types, and then as soon as you win in that game type, so say it was you have to win a game of Husky Raid or something, once you win at that, then you move on to the next game type, and essentially whoever wins all their game types first wins. So
that's again, an interesting idea.
Yeah, so it's competitive but not like super crazy, and you're still playing online, so you're not playing against each other, that type of thing. So I thought that could be kind of a fun little spinoff. I do like having bigger lobbies just to get more people in and also have people feel more comfortable talking, you know, in a little bit bigger of a group. You might kind of feel like, okay, there's at least one person in here I know, or, you know, that sort of thing. But I think that could be kind of a fun thing to try maybe next up. So.
Yeah. Cause it's almost like, okay, you're not directly playing another team, but you're it's kind of a more of a race than it is a direct competition.
Yeah, so it's still just you're playing online, still pretty low key, but a little bit of competitive challenge in there. Yeah,
it sounds interesting. I'm interested to see if that'll come to fruition and when it might happen.
Yeah, I don't know when I'm planning the next one. It's school year again can be tricky, but probably in the next maybe month or two we'll get something going.
Yeah, I guess the next holiday you might have would be coming up is
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, yeah. And then Christmas.
Thanksgiving and Christmas. Yeah, so we're in the pretty busy stretch of the school year right now, and Worlds is coming up, so I'll be taking a couple of days off for that. But otherwise, it's just teaching grind for a while. So
can't wait to be back at Worlds. I missed last year because,
baby
got to introduce, our little one into the world. So
yeah,
looking I'm forward excited. To being back this year though.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people are going this year and I really can't wait. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to get a Halo announcement anytime soon to be just frank about it.
Yeah.
Not that we know anything, just full disclosure, but
yeah,
I think with HCS, it seems like things have been going pretty well. And I know you're a little bit into the HDS scene, which
I used to follow HDS a lot more. I feel like I've kind of switched gear since I don't play ranked as much anymore, and I don't know as many of the teams.
Ever since getting being married and not having as much time to devote to tracking all the competitive stuff. And also shout out to another great Halo podcast, HCS Pro Talk.
Mm-hmm.
They have done such an amazing job. They've been on the podcast, I want to say 7 years this year, and they're killing it. They've got new merch they're bringing to HCS Worlds. They've had several interviews. It's like, I'm just going to leave that to them because they've got that corner covered. So anyone who's listening to this that happens to be a Halo competitive person, we talk about like final results on the show from all the majors, but definitely go out, check out HDS Pro Talk, because those guys are absolutely incredible, and they do such a good job with the roster breakdowns, with the changes to the sandbox, all the things that come out with HDS News. So plug for them to go check them out.
Yeah, definitely good to have people that are focusing on that aspect for sure.
Yeah. But one of the other things that has seemed to kind of be rolling, I think, a little bit more this year than it was last year, but all the partner events that have happened. So the Optic Major, the Space Station Gaming Major, which just finished up and was, from what I heard, a complete success. They had really cool things for attendees to do while they were kind of just in between matches or anything like that. And Worlds for the last few years has had the Community Stage, which the first year I spent most of my time around there and getting to see that come back this year was really cool. So the idea of it being kind of a mini Halo Fest kind of combined with a competitive event is really cool. And it just seems like the hype, even though we're kind of into year three now of Halo Infinite, the hype just for this event keeps building and building, and all the Halo events seem to have these secondary and ancillary things that kind of tie onto it. So it's just not all competitive.
There's a lot to do. There's a lot to do. Even if you're not strictly an HDS fan, you can still find other things to watch and go see. And I would agree. I always like watching the Community Stage and seeing all the things that are going on there. So last year, I feel like I didn't spend as much time in the venue. So I got there late on Friday, and then Saturday I ended up just staying backstage and moderating just to kind of, they needed mods, and I was like, sure, I'll, you know, I can do that. And then I really was only in the venue watching on Sunday, but since that was Champ Sunday, I wanted to watch the matches. So I just kind of parked up, and I was there pretty much the whole day. So other than like an hour on Friday, I didn't really get to see too much, but I know the year prior, I definitely watched more of the Community Stage that year, and it was fun to see.
Yeah. So looking forward to what they have. They actually have a post, I think, that they have an initial schedule for the Community Stage.
Yeah.
I haven't actually gone and looked at it yet, but
I've skimmed it. So yeah, it looks like some similar stuff, and then some new things or some new features as well. So it'll be cool to see.
And of course, shout out to the cosplayers, because that's probably one of, if not the most popular thing on the Community Stage, is getting to see 60 plus 405th members walk across the stage and show off things that just keep improving year after year after year. And everything is like, okay, I could see that specific armor being in the game with how good some of these cosplayers and builders are getting with their stuff.
I always wonder, like, how do they get all that stuff there? Like, if they're flying, like, how do they fit that in a suitcase, you know? And then how do you wear that on stage with the bright lights and not just die of heat and sweat? Like, I don't know. I'm always like, your shout out to you, because I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I've been around them long enough to know some of the secrets of the craft.
Okay.
One of these days I might dive into it, or maybe commission a set or something, but that's a little further out for me at this point.
Yeah.
As far as the Halo community and what everything has kind of been done with the streamers and the grassroots programs, do you feel like there's a lot there with where kind of Halo sits as a franchise, or are there things that you would like to see done better or done differently, kind of with your position in streaming and doing a little bit of an organization within the Halo community?
Well, I think what I would say, just as advice to maybe anybody that's listening, is you don't need to have a title or a label to do things or start something that you want to start. I remember when the Grassroots last opened up their applications, it was, I think, January 2023. And then after a few months, you know, no one had heard anything. It was pretty clear, okay, they're not going to they're not letting anybody in, you know, anytime soon. And I could have just been like, oh, well, you know, too bad. But that's when I started getting the idea for the Boomer Discord and Playdates. And I'm like, I'm not going to wait and see if like there's a chance I could be let into the program before I do anything. I'm just going to do it because I'm confident that I can do, I don't know, just I feel like I had the confidence that I could still do something even without any type of official label or title. And well, I think it would be nice maybe for them to add in more people into Grassroots. I don't think it's something that you need to have. I think there's there's a place for everybody and a place for everybody to shine in the area that they want to prove themselves in. And I'm kind of glad I took the risk, even though I was like, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. Like, I know I'm not in Grassroots and I'm planning an event, but I almost think it maybe gave other people some confidence too. Like, hey, you know, you don't have to be officially affiliated. Like, we're all Halo fans and we're streamers or we're content creators in our own way. And we can still do community things too. And it's all positive, you know. It's not like anybody's doing anything to put anybody else down, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think what you've done is just really showcase that, if you find a good fit that can get a lot of people excited to play Halo together, it doesn't have to be just competitive. And like, customs are definitely a big part of what makes Halo so much fun and interesting to play and get together with people. That you get enough people together just having fun together, and you can make a little event around it, but at the end of the day, it's just everyone having fun.
And I think the more people you can bring in and get to play the game, that's awesome, you know. So there's a place for everybody to be involved. So, you know, we've got to have the HES players, we've got to have that competitive side, and then, you know, we've got to have like those official Grassroots play dates where, you know, you've got kind of the 12 people that are playing and they put on their events. But then I think there's so much room for different community stuff. And, you know, like there's Red Gear, who's been doing some different community things, certain types of streams. And for a while, Lucinity was doing a lot with like the her women's podcast that she was putting on. And she does love other stuff too. But, you know, I think there's a lot of different people that I think all have found their niche and their thing. And sometimes I'm not sure I like being known as the representative boomer of the community, but I've kind of taken on the label. I don't really think I'm old, you know. I'm just, it's just for the memes. So yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, as we're kind of getting, I guess, to the probably the midpoint of Halo Infinite's lifespan at this point, have you had any thoughts or discussions about what you'd like to see in the future Halo title? I think there's definitely been some discussions of like, okay, people want game to be feature complete, Forge and customs and custom browser and all that stuff kind of at launch. But have you had any thoughts of like what you would like to see included or considered for the next Halo, whether it be sandbox changes, new weapons returning?
Yeah.
I know you're not much into the story, but any thoughts about where you might like to see the game go from a functionality standpoint?
I would say two things come to mind right away. So one, in terms of sandbox, I I am disappointed that Halo Infinite hasn't brought in or brought back a lot of weapons. It would be nice to see, I don't know, we'll just say the saw from Halo 4, for instance, or bring back the grenade launcher from Reach, or, you know, even coming out with something new. I feel like we got the bandit, but that was basically it. And so it would be nice to for a new title to incorporate more weapons or bring back some that are from other games. And then another thing I feel like is really missing from Infinite that I would like in a new title is some form of larger scale game mode. So like Warzone from Halo 5 comes to mind, like just something that's a little bit bigger than BTB. It's got some PvE components, and that is one area where I feel like, you know, Infinite just didn't really capitalize on that success from Halo 5. And I mean, I didn't play BTB in Halo 5. I just played Warzone, and I loved all the weapon variants and all the rec packs and things. And that was a mode that I feel like would be nice to see brought back in some form.
We played a lot of the games in Warzone for our community when it was prime time, and it was so we have an event that we do every Friday, basically like just the community hop on, play Halo every Friday, and we would hop into Warzone after our party got like more than five and we kind of got out of arena, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Halo 5 I think still has one of the best sandboxes for a multiplayer experience.
I would agree. Yeah.
I know with all the weapons and what 3x3 skulls was for Infinite didn't quite line up, but there's like the sandbox being so rich of weapons and vehicles. It's like, okay, you don't need that for competitive, but that fuels the social aspect of Halo so
absolutely
much. And it's like, okay, yeah, don't worry about it for competitive or normal matchmaking, but if you give the community the tools and you let them do almost whatever they can with it, that's, I mean, I think the life and breath of Halo really, like you said earlier, is the socials aspect of multiplayer. And there's definitely a fair amount of people that are out there doing campaign. I think back in the Reach day, it was kind of like 50-50. I don't think it's quite that much anymore as far as who's playing, especially with Halo Infinite being free to play now. But there's still a huge contingent that's campaign. There's definitely a core contingent that is ranked multiplayer, but I believe wholeheartedly that the majority of Halo players are really just the social side of things. They go in and play with friends. Like, of course, you kind of can get competitive and you want to win the game, obviously, but social couch experience is the quintessential Halo. And I feel like that's the part that needs to be realized and really honed in on for future Halo titles.
Yeah. I mean, the common complaint that I get from just my IRL friends is they don't want to get on and play Halo because it's so sweaty. Like, every social playlist is just people that never stop playing. And so for my casual friends that they just want to get on and play Halo, maybe, you know, once every couple weeks or so, but then they get on and they just get steamrolled, and then that's not fun. So then they don't get on again. And then the matches just stay filled with the sweaty people. And so that when I joined the Forerunner program, that was initially where I felt like I wanted my voice to be heard is, yes, I have the experience with HGS and I've watched a lot. I've been to a lot of HGS events, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to be a voice for that casual social community. And even now, like as a streamer, I play a lot of BTB. And so I'm trying to bring in my viewers and people that don't play Halo a lot just to show them, hey, like, I'm not the best BTB player, but I'm having fun, and we can get on and get a squad of six of us and try to bring some fun back to the game. So yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I feel like for competitive, it's definitely peak pinnacle Halo gameplay, and it's awesome to watch.
Absolutely, yeah.
But you know 90% of the people watching aren't that skilled, so if you really want to just have people in to
But they talk in Twitch chat like they're skilled, so every guy in Twitch chat, when someone goes negative, thinks they're all of a sudden better than them, so.
I mean, I can't help that too much. Yeah, I think the social aspect of it, which has gotten better with Infinite, it's definitely been a rocky start.
Mm-hmm.
But customs game browser, I think, needs to be definitely a thing out of the bag. Same with Forge being there at launch. Like, we've gone through two major title releases without
that.
Full, and like 343 released a feature complete game. It's Halo 4, but they have done it before.
They
like,
have done it, yeah.
They're capable of doing it.
And I think also campaign being multiplayer split screen off the bat, too.
Yeah, local split screen, because that was a big issue for campaign.
Yep.
Because, again, there are people out there that will just play campaign co-op again and again, and that was... Back in the day, one of the ways that you got people playing the game with you and kind of spreading the word was couch co-op. Granted, we live in a little bit more of an online world now, but it's still, I see a shift back with the whole COVID stuff. I think people are kind of realizing those in-person relationships actually do matter. So I think
we
saw this shift of a little bit more online, and since COVID, I guess silver lining side effect. You see more people kind of actually appreciating that in-person aspect of things. So I would think couch co-op has to be a must for multiplayer and campaign for a future Halo title going forward.
Yeah, if you want your kids to play with you, or you're trying to introduce the game to somebody that's never played it before, campaign is such a stress-free way to start Halo. You don't have to worry about jumping right into multiplayer.
Yep. And it's been a while since we've had our last kind of family podcast on Podtacular. I think our last one was probably 8 years ago at this point, talking to parents on how they play Halo with their kids and what they do with multiplayer online kind of stuff. But most of them stick to just the campaign side of things, and they're comfortable with that because it's like, okay, you're not fighting other people, you're fighting aliens, so there's a little bit more justification there, and it's narrative, so you're actually getting a story out of it instead of just shooting other things. So it's a pretty decent impact to the Halo experience for at least families, if not friends that are trying to get other people interested in Halo.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll give my soapbox now.
No, you have every right to. I understand.
I mean, especially as a dad of a 1-year-old now, it's when someday I'm going to want to introduce him to Halo.
You want to play with him. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah.
My first memories of video games, so I'm an only child, so I don't have brothers, sisters, anything like that. But my first video game memories are playing Nintendo 64 with my dad, Super Mario 64, and then we played a whole bunch of sports games, and we'd always play against each other, and I'd always win, and he'd be upset about it, but that's how it goes.
Like, the parents are supposed to be better than the kids.
Maybe he was letting me win. I'll have to ask him. I don't know.
Make him feel good. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your, I'm sure, busy schedule now that you're, what, 2-3 weeks into your
it's been over a month. We start pretty early in Nebraska. Yeah, we go back early.
Been that long.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. No, that.
Yeah, we're fully in the school year. Jeez. I know.
Yeah. But again, appreciate you so much taking your time out of your weekend to be on here and talk about the tournament series and your experience with Halo. Anything else you want to share with our listeners before we wrap?
I don't have too much. If you if you're a sports fan, or you ever want to be part of the Boomer events or Boomer Zoomer events, my Twitter and Twitch are both Cardinal Redbird, so you can always let me know on there.
Very nice. and your streaming schedule is somewhat regular, not regular, it's sporadic.
Yeah, it's fairly regular. During the school year, I try to do Sundays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and then weekends are kind of up in the air in terms of what I have going on, but I usually shoot for 3 days a week. That's kind of my goal. So
very good. Well, thank you, Cardinal Redbird, for being on the show. Appreciate the time so much, and being a fellow forerunner, it's nice to actually get to share the mic with somebody.
Yeah, we've both been through it. We understand. We have, so
yeah.
We'll have to do a forerunner group picture at Worlds again too.
Was there one last year? I think there was.
I don't think we did one last year. I tried last year and it didn't work, but we got one 2 years ago, so we'll have to do one again.
Yeah, the inaugural, because the first time all of us met was
in
the
Seattle.
Weekend COVID hit.
Yeah, that will still be one of my like all-time memories of just the craziness of that weekend. I will never forget it. So,
yeah. All right. Well, thanks again. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you all on our next live stream, which will be coming up on Thursday. Thank you for listening to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. You can find our podcast on your favorite podcasting service and listen to us live every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Twitch. Check out our website, podtacular.com, and join the community on Discord at podtacular.com/discord. If you want to play Halo with us, come join us for Fraggin' Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Become a supporter of the show by sharing the show with your friends and family, or help keep the lights on by subscribing to us on Twitch, donating via PayPal, or becoming a patron alongside Confal, Pens Halo, and Prestige Ace. Until next time, keep on fragging trucks.